Well, John chapter 3, you believe that? In 2 weeks, I covered John chapter number 2. I'm amazed at myself, all right, that I was able to get through that in just 2 weeks. Now we get into John chapter 3, and my goodness, what a chapter. I mean, this is one of the premier chapters of the Bible. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. This conversation introduces a brand new phrase. When we talk about salvation, Jesus talks about being born again, and a fascinating chapter. I think there's two chapters that have really helped me as far as in my soul winning. And by the way, if Jesus is our ultimate example, then you know what? We probably ought to study how he witnessed to people. And you see the story of Nicodemus and John chapter number 3, also the account of when he talks to the woman at the well. Now, think about those two different characters. You talk about a contrast. Here you've got a very religious man, we'll talk about that in a minute, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And so you have a man that's very religious, but watch this, but lost. And then you have a woman that's been married 5 times and divorced, living with a man. And you know what? Just as lost as the religious guy is lost. Sorry, sin, folks. Amen. And sometimes in our minds, we got the list of the not so bad sins and the bad sins. I will say this, that all sin is bad, but I'll say the Bible addresses interior sins more than it does exterior sins. And you know what? Well, that was one of the problems that the Pharisees had. They had the outward down pretty well, but you know what? The inward was a mess. And the vast majority of the Pharisees rejected Jesus Christ. The vast majority of the Sadducees rejected Jesus Christ. But you know what? Thank God that here's Nicodemus, and we're going to show you that I believe in the end he receives Jesus Christ and believes him to be the Messiah and receives him as his Savior. We don't see that in John chapter 3. I'll point that out. You know, we don't see Jesus at the end of this conversation draw the net. We don't see Nicodemus professing his faith in Christ. And I don't think he probably did it that night. I'll show you where I think he did it. You know, folks, I just want to say that because I want to be an encouragement to each and every one of you that at time have an opportunity to share your testimony or share the gospel with someone. Don't ever be discouraged if that person doesn't get saved in that moment. I mean, you know, some plant, some water, who gives the increase? God gives the increase. And so, you know what, a lot of what we do in this life is when we're dealing with people that are lost is planting and watering. We may not see it, may never see it. But you know, how many times have I had a person stand up and talk about how they came to Christ? And very seldom it is that the first time they ever heard the gospel or had a witness given to them. Usually they'll start talking about, well, this person and this family member was praying for me and talking to me, and this coworker, he shared this with me. And, you know, God just takes several things and eventually it all comes together and they get saved. So I'm not sure, can't say for sure, but I kind of got a feeling that honestly Nicodemus probably may not have been saved that night. And I'll kind of show you why I think that. I wouldn't be emphatic about it, but wonderful chapter. Verses 1, let's start in the beginning here, 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, saying unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, thank you for this wonderful book. I love the Gospels. Thank you for the difference they've made in my life. And Lord, I just pray as we follow your Son, Jesus, as we study you, help us to just have a heart that wants to be more like our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to look up the meaning of the names in the Bible, and we find out that they do have significance many times. The word Nicodemus means victorious among his people. Now think about that. Victorious, we might use the word in our day, successful among his people, or victorious among his people. And I think that, you know what, if from the outside, people looking at Nicodemus, looking at him, the way he lived his life, looking at the position that he had attained and his reputation and testimony amongst the Jews, I think they would say, well, there's a success story. You know, there's the kind of person you want to be like. I think Nicodemus was sincere in his faith. I don't think all the Pharisees were, but I think Nicodemus was sincere in his faith. I think it meant something to him. I think he tried to be a good person. Folks, there's a lot of very sincere, think about this, sincere people religiously, but you can be sincere and not saved. Now think about that. Brother Castle spent a morning preaching a message to the teenagers on Cornelius. And you go back and study the life of Cornelius, he was a devout man. The Bible said he prayed. He had a great prayer life. He gave alms to the poor. I mean, you know, he was a man of great devotion. He believed in God. But you know what? So does the devil. Okay? And good works is never going to get a person to heaven. And so we see this matter of Nicodemus, victorious among the people. He was considered a success, and I think considered an example, but he needed to be saved. He was a Pharisee. That was the conservative branch of the Sanhedrin. If you look up the word Pharisee, it means separatist. And so they were the more conservative branch of the Sanhedrin. I would say the Sadducees was a little bit more liberal branch of the Sanhedrin. He kept himself from secular worldliness. And so again, we're talking about a man that's trying to live right, trying to do right. I think probably had a prayer life. I think he studied the Bible. I think he was sincere. But you know what? Jesus still looks at him and says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people that are sincere in their religion and their religious beliefs, but they're not saved. And you can be sincere and not saved. And so we see Nicodemus, he was a ruler. And if you look up that word, it means a first, a chief, a magistrate, a prince. And so he had attained a rank of power in the Sanhedrin. And so, I look at Nicodemus. Here he comes. I think from the outside, you know, looking at him, watching him, hearing him, you know what, his testimony, his way of life, the conversation of his life, most people would think, hey, if anybody's going to heaven, that guy is. And yet, Jesus is going to say, don't forget this, folks, except a man be born again. You know, folks, let's pray for our young people here, especially those that are born into Christian homes. You know, it's easy if you're not careful just to be conformed to the teaching of your parents and conformed to the teaching of the church. And from the outside looking in, they could look very, hey, if anybody's going to heaven, it's that young person. They can go through the motions. They can be involved. But you know what? They still need to be born again. Okay, listen, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we see Nicodemus here, and we have and by the way, when you see him address Jesus, he's a very respectful man, a gracious man. Think about that, because look what he says. He said, the saint came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi. Now think about that. He says that, and that means teacher. You think about that. That means master. He was showing. Listen, this is a man that's a big shot in the Sanhedrin, and yet he came and he entitled Jesus. He spoke very graciously to him, very respectfully to him. And he knew that there were some things that nobody could dispute concerning the fact that Jesus must have been sent by the Lord. He must have some connection with God. He must be some kind of a prophet. I mean, come on, as much as later on, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees are going to be jealous of him. One thing that they couldn't dispute was that the power of God was on him. He was doing some things that nobody could explain. And that's what he goes on to say here. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he recognizes him as a master or a teacher. He says, I believe that you have been sent from God. He said, there's no way that you can do what you do except you can be sent from God. Now, folks, listen, it's important not that somebody just put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you know what? You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus as God the Son. Okay? If you think Jesus is just a created angel and you accept him as your Savior, you're not born again. If you think Jesus was just a good teacher and he is the way to heaven, listen, you have to recognize Jesus for who he truly is. Not only the Son of God, but God the Son. And so he sees him in a positive light as a religious man, a man that should be listened to, a man that has the touch of God on him, but he hasn't received him yet as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. So Jesus, then we see his reaction. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, think about what he's saying here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus, first of all, I would say this, and I teach out of John chapter number 3, and I've got a lesson that I teach to men. Because I think, folks, that the best way for us to reach other men, Christian men need to be more bold in trying to reach other men for Christ. And here we see Jesus having a man on man. I know he's the God man, but here's a man speaking to another man. And notice, you know, here he is, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he's being gracious and he's being kind and he comes with all his religious credentials. And Jesus is very direct. Now, folks, listen, you can be direct without being disrespectful. I think there's a difference. But you know what? Sometimes we dance around things so much we never get to what needs to be said. And Jesus just went right for it. He recognized who this guy was. He knew his credentials. Come on, he knew that he was a ruler. He knew what people thought about him. But you know what he said? He just gets right to the point. He says, you know what? Except, now think about this. First of all, he gains his attention. Think about those two words, verily, verily. You know, we don't use those words. But we might look at somebody and say, you know, I'm listening to everything you say, but let me get right to the most important thing. What I'm going to tell you is the most important thing you need to hear. And I think so many times, again, we talk to people and we'll talk about him addressing some of his questions here. Sometimes we need to do that. But sometimes we do everything and talk around salvation, but never get to salvation. And, you know, I think one of the things that's helped me in my witnessing is I often start by saying this to people when I have an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. I'll say, can I tell you the most important thing that ever happened in my life? Now, all of a sudden now, I'm trying to get their attention. I'm trying to get them to say, understand, what I'm going to tell you is the most important thing I've ever, ever heard, I've ever done. And it is the most important thing for you also. And so I think sometimes we need to draw attention to the importance of the gospel. That verily, verily, you know what? Everything in the Bible, everything Jesus said, he said for a purpose. He said, I say unto thee, this was very personal. I want you to understand what I'm saying is for you. Nicodemus, come on. Victorious among the people, it's for you. Man who's considered a success, it's for you. Man who is a Pharisee, it's for you. Man who is a ruler, a chief, a magistrate, a prince, this is for you. Guess what? Doesn't matter. All those things don't matter. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is direct. He gets right to the point. He secures his attention. Verily, verily. He includes all of mankind in this statement, and he does say that, except a man. But he says it to him and also makes sure that he understands that this is a very personal message. Jesus introduces a new concept that secures the attention of Nicodemus. Jesus confronts this man with eternity. Think about that. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I think that's a great opening statement right there. You talk about getting somebody's attention. You talk about being direct with them. You talk about cutting through all the fluff. You talk about one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball. You know what? This is for you. And you know what? There's no exceptions. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, now he's got him thinking about eternity. Where are you going to be, Nicodemus, after this life is over? You better start considering whether or not you're going to see the kingdom of God or not. And so Nicodemus, man, I think if we would have watched his face when this statement, I think the wheels are turning really quick. And he's thinking, what did he just say? You know, and verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, he's thinking, he's listening. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, one of the things we're going to see in this conversation is this. Jesus is trying to get him to think spiritually. He's trying to introduce to him spiritual concepts. And yet everything that, at the beginning at least, everything Jesus says, Nicodemus is only receiving through the natural man. And so he's trying to intellectually, come on, can I put it that way? Understand what Jesus is saying, and Jesus is trying to introduce something spiritual. And so you'll see Jesus and introduce these things, and you'll see Nicodemus kind of struggle to understand. He must be born again. Well, if you're not thinking spiritually and you're thinking earthly, what would you immediately go to? You know, your physical birth. And so he kind of looks at Jesus and said, well, what you're saying is impossible. Did I mishear you? I mean, how in the world can a man be born again, born a second time? I mean, how can he go and enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? Again, he's trying the natural man. I want you to hold, if you will, your place there in John chapter 3. Let me put a little marker myself there. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. One of the challenges of talking to people that are not saved is you have to remember, folks, that they are body and they are soul, but their spirit is dead in trespasses and sin. And because they are not born again yet, because they have no spiritual discernment, they try to, listen, every lost person, it was me and you before we got saved. We were body, soul, we had a spirit, but it was dead in trespasses and sin. Well, you know what? It's very hard for a man who is spiritually dead to understand spiritual concepts. And we see that. I can't teach through all of this. The whole chapter is worth our time. But look, if you will, in chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, folks, there's a spirit of the world, and then there's a spirit of God. There's earthly knowledge, and there's spiritual or heavenly knowledge. Now, notice what it says here. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so Nicodemus, all he knows is man's wisdom, but he's trying to open his thinking to God's wisdom. And so all he can ascertain from this point is what he can understand through the natural man. But with the Holy Spirit, come on, we're going to talk about that. With the Holy Spirit's help, you know what? Jesus is speaking these words. The Holy Spirit can then begin to convict a man and bring him to an understanding of where he is in his relationship with God, what his need is in this matter of salvation. And so we see in verse 14, but the natural man, think about this, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now think about this, and think about Nicodemus's reaction. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. And that's why all of a sudden he's going, what are you even talking about? You know, you're saying I have to go back into my mother's womb. And what Jesus says, that's foolish. I mean, he may not have said that, but he's like, what you're trying to tell me sounds foolish to me. Nobody can go back into their mother's womb and be born again. But that's because he's not saved yet. And the natural man, you know, there's a danger. Let me just say this. There's a real danger having just only an intellectual approach to the Bible. Amen. Okay, there's a lot of people that's not saved, but they are self-professed Bible theologians. They've gone and studied, I call them internet theologians, they've gone and studied a lot of things, but they're doing it with their intellect and not with the assistance of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're not saved, guess what? You cannot know them. The Bible says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Let me tell you when the Bible's going to open up to you, once you get born again. Let me tell you when you're going to start understanding things that you never could. Remember before you got saved trying to read the Bible? And trying to understand what in the world it was even talking about. And then you truly got born again. You open up the Word of God. Now the Holy Spirit, isn't that what it said? Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You open the Bible, all of a sudden, you've got a reborn spirit. Okay, body, soul, reborn spirit. You must be born again. What's this born again? It's the Holy Spirit coming inside and rebirthing that spirit that died, was dead in trespasses and sin. But man, thank God the Holy Spirit doesn't just do that and leave us. He does that and then indwells us. And now all of a sudden we've got a tutor. Think about that. The Holy Spirit becomes our tutor to help us to understand the Bible as we're as we study it. How does he help us know them? Watch this. Let's go back to verse 13. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Right now, Nicodemus is comparing spiritual things with carnal things. You got to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible. Amen. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. One of the biggest dangers, if you're not careful, is to take verses, take a certain amount of what the Bible says about a subject, build an opinion or a doctrine without comparing everything that the Bible says about that subject. So before you draw strong conclusions, you need to, from Genesis to Revelation, study thoroughly everything the Bible says on a subject before you just make a decision, this is what I believe, and I'll die on this hill, okay? Be careful. Listen, let me just say to all of us, you know, there's a lot of reasons we come to church. But you know what, folks, I'm not a potted plant up here. And one of the main reasons we need to come is to learn. And we're not going to learn if we're not teachable. Amen. You can't teach anybody that feels like they've already know it all. And so you've got to be willing to have a humble spirit come in and say, you know what, God created the church for a reason. It wasn't man's idea. I can show you it was God's idea. He put in those positions, pastors and teachers. And you know what, my job is to learn. Now, I'm going to just say this. I'm still learning. You're going to learn your entire life. Be humble enough to take instruction. And this is what I got to say about Nicodemus. I mean, at least he was humble enough to come and sit and listen. And with his credentials, that's the one thing that I believe kept a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees from accepting the words of Jesus, is they just thought that they were so much more knowledgeable than he was. Imagine thinking you're smarter than Jesus. And Nicodemus, I got to say, I really have an appreciation for him. Okay, so let's go back to John chapter 3. Jesus had to show him the difference between earthly or fleshly and that which is spiritual. So what Jesus' answer is this. You know what? There's two births that are necessary, not just one. Nicodemus, you only have an awareness of one birth. I'm going to teach you something you don't know. There's not just the need of one birth. There's absolute necessity of two births in order to see the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful way to present the gospel. Think about that. He's got Nicodemus' attention because he's sitting there trying to rationalize intellectually. What in the world did he just say? And now all of a sudden he's got his attention. Verse 5, verily, verily, or again, listen carefully, Nicodemus. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the capital S Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, water is talking about your physical birth. That's what Nicodemus brought up in verse number 3. That is what is going to be the interpretation in verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Water, you all know that. Oh, by the way, Samuel, Abel, and Abby had their baby. I don't know if you knew that they were expecting or not. But he texts me yesterday morning. I guess they had it maybe Friday evening. And a little baby girl. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Samuel Abel. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Samuel Abel is a daddy right now. Well, you know what? Abby, at some point, her water broke. All of you ladies that have carried babies, you know what I'm talking about. That born of water and the Spirit, people come along, well, that means baptism. Well, you're forcing your preconceived belief ideas and into a scripture that is not teaching that. Again, you got to go to the Bible with an open heart and an open mind and a teachable spirit. If you go to the Bible with preconceived notions, you know what you're going to do? You're going to force scriptures out of context to support preconceived notions. Let's let the Bible teach us. You know, let's stop trying to change the Bible to match what I believe. Let's change what I believe to match the Bible. And so that's what it says there. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. And this is all part of Jesus bringing the gospel to him. Nicodemus, listen, there's two births, and they're both necessary in order to see the kingdom of God. There's the physical birth. There is the spiritual birth. That's verse 5 and 6. Then he says this, 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So he said, listen, stop looking in wonderment. And the reason he was, he'd never heard of anything like this. You know how many religious people have never been told that they need to be born again? You know how many devout, sincere religious people had never been given a plain presentation of the gospel? They simply believe because they do their religious duties and they follow their religious creed that God is going to accept them on their own merit. And folks, you know, I already said it, for by grace are you saved through faith. Period. That not of yourself, okay? Get you completely out of it. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so he's trying to get him there. He says, hey, marvel not. And it's funny because look down in verse number 10. You know, you talk about having to be humble to receive the gospel. Look what Jesus said in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel and knoweth not these things? I love that. You know what he's doing? He's saying, hey, big shot. Hey, mister, everybody thinks you're a success. Hey, Mr. Member of the Pharisee. Hey, Mr. Prince, ruler, magistrate among the Jews. You don't know this? How in the world can you be a master of Israel and not know that there is the necessity of the second birth? Now, listen, he could have at that point stood up and said, let me tell you something. You don't even know who you're talking to, bud. I guarantee you I've studied the Bible longer than you have. I know more than you know. And a lot of times our pride comes between us and salvation. Because all of a sudden this man who thought all of these things and had taught all of these things all his life was confronted a head-on collision with Jesus Christ. And Jesus looking him in the eye and saying, you know what? God bless you, buddy. Everybody else might be impressed with that, but you got to be born again. And so I skipped over this. He talks again about the work of the Spirit because he's trying to explain to him the spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth happens when the Holy Spirit of God comes in and rebirths us. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou heareth the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Now think about that, what he's saying. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, okay, what you're doing is you're trying to understand the Bible using your five senses. You know, come on, that's the world today. If I can't see it, touch it, prove it in a laboratory, I'm not going to believe it. Okay? If I can't understand it with my intellect and it makes it, listen, faith is necessary for true conversion.
Amen.
Faith is necessary for salvation. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so God's not going to appear to you in your bedroom. Okay? There has to be a measure of faith. Come on. We're saved by grace. That's God extending to us something we don't deserve. And then we have to be willing to put our faith in the plan of salvation, the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. that was for us. So again, this whole conversation, if you go down from verse number 3 all the way to verse number 8, he's just trying to get Nicodemus to understand, hey, there's the visible, but there's the invisible. Doesn't the Bible say Jesus created both the visible and invisible? The wind, you can't see it, Nicodemus, but you can tell where it's blowing. And folks, I can't see the Holy Spirit, never have, and you haven't either. But you felt his working. I hope you have, because if you haven't, you haven't been born again. That's his job, bring conviction, reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, I've been saying that a lot lately out preaching. We got to get back to those three subjects, okay? The sinfulness of man, the righteousness of God, and when you compare those things, judgment. There's no other conclusion you can come to. There's no way, as sinful as we are and as righteous and holy as God is, that we can go and live with him forever. So judgment is coming, and that's what prepares a man to receive the gospel. Hey, guess what? There's good news then. I mean, if you thought sin, righteousness, judgment, and you leave a man there, you leave him hopeless. Okay, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But those are necessary themes to get a person ready to receive the gospel. And the more that the church has gotten quiet on preaching against sin and preaching against holiness, the holiness of God, it's almost like we want to bring up our sinfulness so it's not so bad and bring down God's holiness so that somehow we can meet in the middle. There is no meeting in the middle, but there is a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And there's the gospel that builds a bridge between us. And there's forgiveness and transformation that's available to each and every one. Praise the Lord, those are all good things. Amen. Y'all are getting me excited. I'm gonna end up preaching instead of teaching. Isn't this incredible, this conversation? And then verse number 9, Nicodemus answered, how can these things be? And he said, he humbles him in verse 10. We already mentioned that. Verily, verily, there it is again. He is keeping this man locked in. He is saying, you better listen to what I say. He's already done it 3 times now. Nicodemus, refocus. Think about this. Verily, verily, do I have your attention? And then he drops another truth on him. Then he gets down here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, wait a minute, folks. He's going to introduce to him, Nicodemus, his thinking that he is not just another man. Okay, you called me rabbi, but I'm much more than a rabbi. You know, you mentioned that I have come from God, but I'm just not a man that's been sent from God, a good teacher. He said, you already mentioned that there's no way I could do these miracles except God be with me. But you better understand what I'm talking about right now, I've seen with my own eyes. Okay, so he's introducing to him the idea of the deity of Christ. Think about that. He said, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man, think about this, hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. All of a sudden now Nicodemus realizes, wait a minute. He's basically telling me the reason you don't know is because you haven't seen it. But you're talking to somebody that's seen it. And you came from this earth, Nicodemus, but I didn't come from this earth. I descended down from heaven. And right now he's trying to convince him, listen, there are things you cannot see that I've seen. And you're looking at me like this, and you need to look at me like this. Because I am the Son of God. I am God the Son. And then he says this in verse number 14. I'm going to run out of time here, but I'll finish verse 14 and then flip over to one other portion and we'll get out of here. Look at verse 14. And this is where he begins to introduce, okay, Nicodemus, if he studied up, he ought to know this story. So he brings up an Old Testament story. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up. And of course, Jesus uses an Old Testament story to explain what must happen if mankind is to be saved. This is back in Numbers 21. We might look at that next week. I don't have time now. But all of a sudden he's saying, I want you to think about this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, in closing, let's go over to John 19. Same book. We'll end up in John. We'll finish in John 19. Now think about that. He said, Nicodemus, think about this. Think about that. I'm going to introduce it. And I want you to remind you of an Old Testament story. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John 19, look at verse number 28. And of course, this chapter is the crucifixion. I'm not going to read all of it, but you know, beautiful presentation of the crucifixion. So much. I can't wait to get to John 19. It'll probably be 2027, but we'll see how it goes. Look at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Wow, who was there? Who saw this? Let's go, if you will, over to verse 38. We'll close her down. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple, so Joseph of Arimathea is a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. I love verse 39. Guess who's also there? Guess who was standing there watching Jesus being lifted up on that cross? And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, as a manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, I don't know when Nicodemus got saved. I don't know. It may have been at the end of John chapter 3, because we really are only told a certain part of the conversation, and then that's it. Maybe he got saved there. There is a place in between John 3 and John 19 where I could take you, where Nicodemus spoke up for Jesus and they were condemning him. And he said, hey, do we judge a man before we hear him? They were talking about killing him. Why are you talking about executing this man? You haven't even heard him out. And then they rebuked him. So I don't know, maybe, but I'm going to tell you something. I think when Nicodemus is watching Jesus die on the cross, all he could hear in his mind was the words of Christ in John chapter 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Well, I'll talk to Nicodemus when we get to heaven one of these days, and I'll say, was that it? Was that the moment where all these seeds that were planted, that conversation at night, you know, your struggle with the natural man trying to understand the spiritual, you know, only seeing the earthly and not understanding the heavenly? Was it at this moment, while you're watching the crucifixion of Christ, that all of a sudden you say in your heart, okay, Jesus, I got it now. I get it. I believe. I don't know. That'll be a fun conversation to have. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, as we study the Bible. Thank you for this wonderful example. As we listen to Jesus, we hear him speak to Nicodemus. Lord, we didn't quite get to verse 16. What a great place to start our next Sunday school lesson. But Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us, for being involved in the regeneration of our spirit, for taking up residence inside of us, for helping us to understand that which is not natural, God's wisdom, not just men's wisdom, God's wisdom, not just intellect, but spiritual discernment, spiritual understanding. I pray, Lord, that you continue to open the Bible up to each of us every single day as we study it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.